Over the next few weeks, I'm going to start each message with a thought that will inspire you to focus on the bright side of life, the happy side of life, the sunny side of life. And today's inspiration is this: never put the key to your happiness in another person's pocket. Think about that. Never put the key to your happiness in another person's pocket. As always, it is so good to be with you. I love being with you every time we gather together to celebrate the Holy Mass. And it's truly hard to believe that we're in the fifth week of Lent. Isn't that amazing? But the exciting thing about this Lent is that we're doing it together. I like how we're doing it together as a community and then having Mary as our guide. Lent is such a wonderful time of preparation for what we are about to enter. And a great Lent can do many good things for us. It can lead us to a newer understanding of ourselves, a resolve to change and grow, and out of that awareness, a conversion of our heart and spirit. And that's what really matters. So let me ask you this morning, could you do with a little more of that in your life? Well, of course, we all could use a little more of that. That's good. So let's pick up where we left off in our journey last week. We had just departed from a virtual paradise. It was out of this world kind of place. And we had stayed there for quite a while. We sat and soaked up the sun on a beautiful day like today, listened to the birds sing and watched the butterflies as they flew by. But it was just after that that Mary said, it's time to leave. We need to leave here because as impossible as it seems, she says, God has so much more to offer us on our journey that we call life. See, life is a journey. Remember that. It's a journey. There's an end, which is a great thing, but there's also tremendous joy in the journey because God is teaching us each step along the way about how wonderful it is to walk and to grow with him as one of his children. Well, we continued on in our journey, and eventually we begin to see the outline of the great city of Jerusalem, where at this time, this was the time of the year for the Passover, and thousands of people were gathered together in the city. But we also noticed there were people leaving the city. That was curious, since Passover was still yet to come. So I looked at the mother and I said, Mother, why would someone be leaving Jerusalem this early? And Mary said to me, well, those are Jesus's fair weather disciples. Those are the fair weather disciples. They followed Jesus for food and miracles of healing. But when he began to talk to them about taking up their cross, denying themselves, and following him, they left. In other words, she said, they follow Jesus when it's convenient and it doesn't cramp their lifestyle. And she says, as a matter of fact, I can remember one day when I was heading for Jerusalem, seeing your face in the crowd going in the opposite direction. Isn't it great, she said, how much that you have matured in your faith as one of Jesus's disciples. God, it is true, she said, that God is so patient with us. Although it is a tremendous loss personally, the longer that we refuse to say yes to him, because God has so much more to offer us. As we drew closer to the city, we could see Mount Calvary, because Mount Calvary was on the outside walls of the city itself. And at the top of the mount, which is called the place of the skull, because it looks like a skull, there were three crosses with people who were hanging on them. And as Mary began to sense her anxiety because we were realizing this is where we were headed, she begins to do something she taught us last week, and that was to repeat the 23rd Psalm. Repeat that when we feel that sense of anxiety and fear trying to grab hold of us. Repeat the 23rd Psalm. And as she began, we chimed in with her as well. The Lord is my shepherd, she says. There's nothing I shall want. Fresh and green are the pastures where he gives me repose. Near restful waters he leads me. He revives my soul. And she continued on, and as she did, it was so calming and assuring about God's presence with us, going through whatever it is that we have to go through in life. And sure enough, Mary took us right to beneath the cross of Jesus. And some of the family, like her sister, had already gathered there. Also, John the Apostle, the beloved disciple, he was also there. But it was interesting, the rest of the apostles were noticeably absent. And it was such a chaotic place. There was so much chaos and so much commotion that was going on. People were walking by and they were mocking Jesus. They were making fun of him. And Jesus, there he was, suspended, so to speak, between heaven and earth. And I could tell that Jesus, if Jesus could actually see Mary through the blood and sweat that was pouring down his face, but it was very obvious that he knew Mary was there. And as I just sort of looked at all of the drama that was going on in the situation, tears began to well up in my eyes, and eventually they overflowed down my cheeks. And then a strange feeling came over me when I looked at Jesus. I didn't want to run. I didn't want to hide, as I had done so many times before in the face of suffering. But instead, what I wanted to do was I wanted to embrace all of Jesus, the totality of who he was, and that included his suffering. And just then, Pope Francis's words of calling Mary the most faithful disciple, they began to make sense to me. Because it was true that even in the midst of intense suffering, Mary remained faithful to Jesus. Even though she didn't understand everything, things that she had treasured in her heart for now some 33 years, she trusted, though, in all of the things that the Holy Spirit had said to her through the angel Gabriel, through Elizabeth, through Anna the prophetess, and Simeon, and yes, even Jesus himself. As the first and the most faithful disciple, what a wonderful example she was, because Mary possessed the faith to trust that Jesus was the Savior of the world. She believed. And my mind went back to the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are prophetic utterances about Jesus and as coming as the Messiah. And the 69th Psalm is truly a wonderful psalm that shows us the image of the suffering Christ. And as I looked at him and as I looked at Mary, the words spoken in one of the verses were so profound to me. And they go like this: I looked for one that would comfort me. Jesus, hanging on the cross, said, I would look for one that would comfort me. And at that very moment, I said in my heart, Mary is one of the ones. She's one who would stand by to comfort Jesus. As a matter of fact, right over there, look over there. There he is on the cross, and there's the mother standing right beside him. She would be one of the ones who would strengthen him in his time of intense suffering. And I said in my own heart, I want to be one of those ones too. Don't you? As we walk through this, begin this journey of down Holy Week in the Passion of Christ, don't you want to be one of the ones who walks with him too, who stands by his side as he performs the most redeeming work that will have and ever will be given in the salvation of the world? Yes, yes. So for the first time, as I looked at this image, I began to understand the words that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Paul said this. He said, I want to know the resurrection of Jesus. You know, we all want to know about the power of the resurrection of Jesus, don't we? That's powerful. But Paul goes on and he says, I also want to share in the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be totally sold out to Jesus. I want to embrace the totality of him, which is not only the resurrection power, but it is also the suffering that he went through in this life and that you and I go through in this life as well. And how appropriate the words of Jesus, who says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. So I ask you this morning, are you willing to make that journey to the cross? We sat there, and it seemed like an eternity, actually. And you could see it was very evident that Jesus' body was quickly beginning to deteriorate. And he only had a couple of breaths left, literally. That's about all he had. But in those remaining breaths, and I can't imagine trying to talk as he had to talk, but Jesus said something to Mary. He said to her, he said, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to John, who was called the beloved disciple, he says, "Here is your mother." And the scriptures tell us that literally from that hour on, John receives Mary into his home as his mother. And this was definitely an act of compassion that we could see in Jesus, and we would have been totally surprised if he had not done that. But this wasn't a housekeeping matter. No, this was something that where the implications reached infinitely farther than that. And we're so fortunate for the wisdom and the teaching and the guidance of the church to help us to understand just exactly what Jesus was trying to do. See, it's not by coincidence that we hear words like hour, we hear words like finest wine, we hear words like woman who are repeated here and are repeated from the wedding feast at Cana some 3 years earlier. See, Jesus' hour had finally come. It had come, but so had Mary's hour come. And Jesus was calling her. All of this time when she looked, you know, she didn't understand, but she kept and she believed. All of this time, Jesus was showing Mary that she would not only be the mother of God, but that she would be the spiritual mother of the church. The spiritual mother of the church. Mary, the most faithful, the first disciple, was being called to participate in Jesus' mission to the world. To cooperate, you might call it, in Jesus' mission to the world. And as mother of the church, which Blessed Paul VI designated her in 1964 at the end of the Vatican II, and then last, just a couple of weeks ago, actually, it was pronounced by Pope Francis that this designation of Mother of the Church would be universally celebrated by the Church every Monday after Pentecost from now on. It says that this Mother of the Church, cooperating, participating in the mission of Jesus, she would bring Jesus to the world by encouraging the Church, that's you and I, by encouraging us to be firm in faith, strong in hope, and burning with love. That, Mary said, was Jesus' calling. But remember this, my dear brothers and sisters, all of us here are called to go forth in our own particular way and cooperate in the ministry of Jesus, of inspiring others to know, to serve, and to love God and others. Every one of us here this morning are called to participate in some unique way this sharing of Jesus' mission to the world. What we must do is say yes. Yes. Push the yes button, okay? Push the yes button. When Jesus calls and says, "It's your hour," push the yes button for him. I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this morning. First of all, this morning's message hashtag is faithful disciple. Not fair weather disciple, but faithful disciple. And I want to encourage you today, and I hope you have an opportunity to walk by over here after Mass, and just affirm the words in Psalm 69 that you will try to be one of those who will comfort Jesus as we walk with him in a short while through the passion of the Holy Week. And then the second thing is this. Lent is almost over. It's coming to an end. And I hope that it's been a wonderful time of preparation for you as we enter into Holy Week. And I hope it's been a time where you, with a newfound joy, have said yes to whatever Jesus asks you to do. But I want you to think about one thing this morning as I close with this. As you search into the depths of your heart, your soul, and your mind this morning, are there any no's that you're saying to Jesus in your life? Or is your life one big yes to Jesus. God bless you.